Thank you, Phil. Please take a seat. I wonder what struck you about our reading from Hebrews. Not a long reading. As I read this, I could imagine God the Father in a rather frustrated state. They, his children, know him, but most are just going about along in their lives without a care in the world, and certainly not a care for God or his word. The Bible tells us that even the priests at the temples were corrupt. Now, most of us have been parents, and we are all children of someone. And can you feel God's pain? Now, I remember when my daughter was younger, in her late teens and early 20s, she would do things that would wind me up, and I'd ask her not to do it. And she would say she was sorry, but then she would do that thing again and again and again until I got really wound up and started to shout at her, at which point she would cry and tell me she was really, really sorry. And I would say, but you keep on doing it. You say sorry. You should say sorry once and never do it again. It would drive me nuts. But her crying would make me so sad, I had trouble dealing with my emotions. I wanted her not to slam the door, or to close the door, or to turn the lights out, or to lock the front door, or to clear up after herself. Just ordinary stuff, nothing special. Easy to do, you'd think. I certainly thought so. And my parents probably thought the same thing about me. I did not enjoy making her cry, and it would send me into a tailspin, where I would get the hump and not talk to anyone. And a grumpy Kenny is not a good person, so I'm told. But what does the writer of Hebrews say God does? He sends his son to live amongst us. He does not send a ready-made king. He does not get the hump and cut himself off from his people. But he comes and is born into a poor household. Can God relate to our lives? Why not? He lived with us. He ate with us. And at a base level, he even had to go to the toilet. The man God who made the universe walked among men and women and ate food and wine, slept and washed, cried and got angry and showed emotion. Jesus, God's Son, is part of our Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This man God, Jesus, he's not only told us how to live a godly life, but showed us how to do it in person. Not only that, but as John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God came to us as a man, and being God, knew how that life would end. That as a man, he would feel separated from the rest of the Godhead. But because of his love for us, he still came that day in Bethlehem as a baby. And through the life of Jesus, we can see just what the Father is like. What do we learn from a study of Jesus? That God loves us. That he loves us as we are, all different, but all the same. That God is holy, set apart, but wanting a relationship with us. And that he cares so much that he left us a copy of what he is like in the scriptures. As I mentioned last week, the Bible tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. And then what did Jesus, the man God, do? He paid the price for our sins. Jesus went to the cross for us. Could he have stopped it? Yes. He is God. Would he want to stop it? No. His love for us is so great that he is willing to do more and willing to do this. Now I think that when Jesus was on the cross, it was his human part, the human part of Jesus, that cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The God part of Jesus on that cross was with God. As God the Father wrapped his arms around Jesus and the Holy Spirit covered them all with his presence. I've had that picture a few times lately. I don't know if any of you know the Charlie Massey picture of the prodigal son. And it's a picture done in charcoal. And the father is wrapping his arms around the prodigal son. And that is the picture I have of Jesus on the cross, with the father wrapping his arms around the son and the Holy Spirit coming down over them. So the three are one together. I have drawn it, but my drawing looks like a three-year-old's. So I won't be publishing it. It was the best I could do. And after Jesus came as a baby in the manger at Bethlehem, and he lives as a boy, as a teenager, and a man, and dies that gruesome death, he returns back to heaven to be with his Father, to sit next to the Father, to be equal with the Father, and to be higher than the angels. And he wants to spend eternity with us. It's just as well that God's ways are not our ways. I wonder why the writer of Hebrews mentioned that Jesus was higher than the angels. For us, hopefully, that may be a given. It may be obvious. But at the time of this letter, when this letter was written, many Jewish believers in Jesus were having difficulty in placing Jesus in that relationship with God. Was Jesus God? Just a little bit lower than God? Or was he just a top angel? Some today still have a problem with this. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus was the Archangel Michael. And I must be honest and tell you, I have no idea where they got that from. It's not in the Bible. I've looked at it. I've really looked for this. And I cannot see where they make that connection. The Archangel Michael is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. But it's not as being connected in any way with Jesus. And the Muslims think and talk about Jesus being a minor prophet. But the writer is quite clear. Jesus sits next to God the Father, who says, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." And then God says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And so should we. We should worship Jesus Christ. And just so it is clear, Christ in the New Testament means the Anointed One. It is a title for the Saviour and the Redeemer, who would bring salvation to the Jewish people and to all mankind. So Jesus' name is this: Jesus the Anointed One, or Jesus the Saviour, Redeemer. In this season of Advent, in this season to focus on the expectations and waiting and the anticipation of Christ's birth, let's focus on what loving grace God has given us. A God who was and is willing to die for you and me, if we truly turn to him in faith and repent of our sins. God came down as a baby to be vulnerable like us. I bet he even got splinters from the wood when he was working on it. God knows what it's like to be human. He not only made us, but he is and was one of us. So in this Advent season, let's focus on the anticipation of what Jesus and the Trinity of God has done for us with these well-known verses from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the life." And Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And finally, when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you love us so much, that you came as one of us, that you were willing to personally save us, to help us to draw closer to you during this Advent season, Lord, and through the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.